You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Popcorn. So, let's get right to this. I have a microwave. It's going to be a long sermon, so I thought I'd have something to eat while we're here. I think you just open this up, pop that in there. These things are so common, there's even a button for that. We'll let that cook while we get started here. Here's what I love about popcorn. God, in the beginning, we got a mic on this? It's starting to happen. God creates all this stuff, and here's kind of where we're going today. Creates all this stuff, and he makes corn. Part of that day, makes corn. But this is the kind of God you're dealing with. He goes, nah, not just corn. I'm going to make this special kind of corn that it's going to take them a while to figure out till something, it falls in the fire, something. And this popcorn is just going to explode. There it is. Just corn. But it's not just any old kind of corn. This is blow-up corn. Now, what kind of God would make popcorn? Does it really serve any purpose? What purpose does popcorn serve? I just think this stuff is cool. Because it says something to me about the God that I serve, that I worship, that now I'm getting to know a little better. Stuff that I didn't know growing up. See, you think that God is all serious. Is he all serious? It's very serious. People sin. People live. It's ready. Hang on just a minute. Now, this is going to be hot. Ooh, that smells good. So here's what I like about this. I want you to think about stuff that when you look around your life, your world, your reality, that you go, that's nothing but fun. That's just God blessing me. That's just God taking care of me. I had a deal happen this week. A guy who's been an alcoholic for years, getting clean and sober. We had breakfast, and this is how it went down. We met for breakfast, but that morning, all three of my girls left their lunch at home, all three of them. Rebecca had dropped the youngest off at the orthodontist, and I told her I would pick her up from the orthodontist after this appointment and take her to school. But I had to run by the house, so I looked at this guy and said, look, I don't want to cut this short. Will you go with me to go get three lunches, go to the orthodontist, and back to school, and I'll drop you back off the car? He goes, sure. So we keep talking, jump in my car, go to the house. But on the way to the house, where I live right now, on the way to the house, there happens to be the only Frank Lloyd Wright home in Dallas, Texas. So I make a turn, I'm coming up the street, and I'm coming up to it, and I know this guy's like a chef, and he's interested in biology, and I thought, I'm not gonna say anything, but for some reason, I was prompted to say, and over here on the right is the only Frank Lloyd Wright house in Dallas. And I thought he was gonna jump out the window of my car. I pulled over, he got out of the car, he said, the gate's like the house. This is a grown man. He gets his phone out, goes up through the gate, takes a picture of the house. I'm like, what did I say? Does he know these people? Runs back to the car, jumps in the car, and was completely freaked out that he had seen this house. Then he went on to tell me this, that the day before, he was on his way somewhere, and he is a huge Frank Lloyd Wright fan. And was driving through some neighborhoods, did not know where this house was, but had been kind of looking, maybe he'd spot it. And the next day, because my three girls left their lunch at home, and I'm not recommending this ever again, I'm just saying. But God, and you say, well, what are you trying to say? My friend Matt, God cares so much about Matt and his recovery and his life and the details of it, that God looks down before the foundation of the world and goes, okay, here's the only way I'm going to get this done. I got to have three girls leave their lunch. I got to have one of them at an orthodontist, which is a whole other story. I'm going to put all this together because I know he's coming out of rehab. He's coming off. He's going to need some encouragement. So the three lunches, we're going to grab those. On the way, he'll see the house and he will know that I care about him specifically. That there is no way in the world this could happen. And he is going to go, oh my gosh, that is my God watching out for me. Now let me tell you something. If you don't have things like popcorn or something taking your breath away, you are missing it. If you think this God is just up there with this cosmic 2x4 waiting to smack you when you got a line, you got the whole thing wrong. This God loves us. I'm a dad. Some of you are dads. Some of you are moms. You're parents. And if you love your kids at all, the Bible talks about if we being, you know, we're just human parents trying to do the right thing, but we do the right things for our kids. That's us. What kind of heavenly father? He wants to give good things to those who know him and love him. He is on your side. He is not against you. And some of creation itself, let me read you some of these things. Why do we have like a sense of humor? We can laugh. I'll read you some verses about that. Why is it that dogs like see in black and white? We see in color. I found some research. The human eye can detect 10 million colors. That's what kind of eye you've been given. Do you have any idea how much fun God had for 6 days cooking all this up? Look around you. Look at a praying mantis. They're not Christians, but they pray a lot, obviously. You know, there's just wacky stuff. There's stuff they haven't even found in the bottom of the ocean yet. And it's just God's way of going, you know what? You see nothing yet. Make you a bigger microscope. I'm smaller than that. I go both ways. We can't even reach the end of the universe. You need to look out for stuff where you go, that's just cool. That's just God having fun. Because for a long, long time, I did not know he was for me. I thought he was against me. I didn't know he'd throw me cool stuff. I'm going to tell you another story. And I almost hesitate to tell you these stories, but when I hesitate, I realize that I am backing off of some kind of blessing, and that's not a good thing. When my girls growing up, my oldest turned 16, I had some kind of crazy idea, because I'm an American male, white American male maybe, and just grew up around stuff. I thought, she's going to turn 16, and I'm going to buy her a car, because that's just what you do in America, right? Didn't work out that way, did it? She turned 16, no car, couldn't get her a car. The next one turned 16, can't get her a car because I haven't got the first one a car, no car. Now I got two cars. How many people got two cars? See, it doesn't even make any sense. So you say, well, God, I already got two cars. A lot of people don't have one car. They got one with like jumper cables and maybe it runs, maybe it doesn't. And people in the world don't even know what a car is. You know, they don't have anything. So why would I even ask God for a car? 16, no car. 18, no car. Think about looking for car, borrowing money for car, can't get comfortable about that. So then I did this one night. I didn't even tell Rebecca this. Waking up early in the morning one night, and I kind of had this conversation. I said, Lord, you know, this ain't the biggest deal in the world, and I don't ask you. I really don't ask him for a lot. But I said, this is kind of getting on me a little bit, and I'm just asking. I'm just showing up asking. I am asking you, and I don't know how you're going to do this, but I am asking for a car. Now, why is it so scary to do that? Because what if he doesn't show up? What if he just heard my old prayer and goes, well, sorry about that, bucko. It ain't going to work out. Appreciate you asking. And do you get everything you ask for? No. And should you? No. I pray that prayer in the middle of the night a couple of times. And my daughter, my youngest, the other day, sends me a text with a picture of a car. And she says, Daddy, this is our car. No kidding. This is our car. ! And about an hour or so later, it pulls in the driveway. It's a little black convertible with a tan top. Coolest thing. I can't ride in it because it's so small in my head. The top has to be down for me to ride in it or my top hits the deal. Now, let me tell you something about where you are. If you hear my story and you think it's not fair, you are screwed up. You got a problem. Because if you love me and you're my friend, you will rejoice when I rejoice. And that day I rejoiced because my God heard my little bitty prayer and a car pulled in my driveway. And I knew he did it. because I didn't ask anybody for it. I didn't tell anybody about it. And somebody, a friend, was prompted to do it, and bam, there it shows up. What are you asking for? You say, it's not fair. So-and-so got that. He got a car. He got to see the Frank Lloyd Wright house. I get nothing. What are you grateful for? What do you wake up and go, God, this is all I got. This is where I am. But I thank you for these legs. I got legs. I got arms. I got hands. I got breath. I got life. I got stuff a lot of people don't have. I got health. I thank you for what I've got. Well, I'm not happy. Get happy then. Look around. Breathe some fresh air. Hit some golf balls. Take a break. Hit a lot of golf balls. See, do you really get that he's on your side? You know, most people won't tell you this. My God has a fun side. Popcorn. Song of Solomon. Go read Song of Solomon. Figure out what that's really about. You know, the animal kingdom, they just are fruitful and multiply. But God threw in this crazy thing called pleasure. It can get out of hand. It can be misused. But to be in love with someone, I am convinced that if it were not for physical attraction, women would live on this continent and men would live on this continent. You could just pick one. We would get as far from each other. We'd be buddies. We'd text each other, but we would not. But God creates this thing where we don't have much in common maybe, but we fall in love. We have feelings. And see, you say, well, yeah, I get that. Well, then why don't we have feelings like that for God? You say, well, I don't want to have romantic feelings for God. It's about falling in love with this God. It's about realizing that he has chosen you. He has decided not that he's going to love you, that he does love you. And he's trying to bless you. He's trying to woo you to himself. He is a seductive God. Have you ever thought about that? Where are you going to go? Come to me. There's nobody going to take better care of you. You're not going to have any better life anywhere with anyone else but with God himself. You say, well, I've never heard about a God like that. Then ask him, read the book with those eyes and find that kind of God. See, you may be going to the Bible and going, he looks angry. He's just angry all the time. He's just killing people all the time. It's not true. Some of the times he's packing up, going down to be born of a virgin, live a sinless life, and die on some cross for you. How are you going to come away with that and say he doesn't love you, he doesn't care about you? What kind of God would send his own kid to die for us? You're missing something. Pleasure, laughter. Is there a lot of pain in the world? Absolutely. Do I try to laugh as often as I can? Absolutely. Because if I don't offset it, you say, well, you're nuts. You do crazy things. Absolutely. Let's read some verses. Proverbs 30. And while you're looking at Proverbs, this is what I'm after today. I want you to say a little prayer and say, God, I've been missing this stuff. I don't see the popcorn. I don't see this stuff the way he sees it. I'm asking you to reveal yourself to me in a completely different way. Show me little bitty things, fun stuff, great stuff, just stuff that was just for me, just for me. Proverbs 30. Go down. There's a bunch of lists here. Let's just, for the sake of time, go down to verse 18. There are three things, and listen to what this guy says. There are three things which are too wonderful for me. Yes, four which I do not understand. Just completely overwhelming. And he says the first one, the way of an eagle in the air. Now you say, well, what is he talking about? Some kind of nature nut? Do you ever stop long enough to just look around? This guy had obviously seen an eagle and watched an eagle soar, and the eagle jumps out of a nest or jumps off of a rock ledge somewhere, and those massive wings catch that eagle. And he pumps those wings a little bit, but sooner or later he catches a current and rides that current and can go way, 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 way up there. Watch a bird fly. For some reason, that's what got this guy going. The way of an eagle in the air. The second one, the way of a serpent on a rock. This guy had seen a snake on a rock. You say, I don't care about snakes on a rock. It doesn't have to be your deal. It was his deal. But he's talking about it. Wow, that's amazing. Watch that snake on that rock, how it moves and its body propels him along by just wiggling like that. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. We are so powerful. We are so awesome. We build these massive cargo ships, ocean liners, cruise ships now, massive, massive cruise ships. I don't care how big the ship is. You put your little boat out in the middle of the ocean, you got nothing. One wave can knock the thing over and it's gone. Rogue wave come out of nowhere and it's gone. We think we are all that. We will build these things. And God goes, you got nothing. I can take you out like that. A ship out there on the sea thinking it's all that. Stabilizers, we've figured this all out. And a storm comes, you can't take it down. And then he says the fourth one here, in the way of a man with a virgin, with a young lady, watching movies, watching plays, watching operas, anything you watch. Ever watch, when's the last time you saw somebody fall in love? Pretty crazy deal, isn't it? Guys will say stuff they would never say in a million years. If you're listening to a guy on the phone and there's no one around and he's talking and he's saying this a lot, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by he's talking to a woman? I'm telling you straight up. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? Dead giveaway. There's a girl on the other end he's trying to coax. Go down a few verses. Verse 24. There are four things which are little on the earth, but they are exceedingly wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their food in the summer. The rock badgers are a feeble folk, yet they make their homes in the crags. The locusts have no king, yet they all advance in ranks. The spider skillfully grasps with its hands, and it is in kings' palaces. There are three things which are majestic in pace, yes, four which are stately in walk. A lion which is mighty among beasts, and does not turn away from any, a greyhound, a male goat also, and a king whose troops are with him. Observation someone make. Make you some observations, write some stuff down and go, wow, God, that's amazing. It may be something completely different for you. Start noticing, ask God to reveal himself in the little stuff and see how he shows up. You know what? You may be so bitter, so angry, so unforgiving, so wrapped up in you, you can't even see it anymore. People walk around, woe is me, their heads down. You know what? Look up for a minute. Look around. Job chapter 5. Find Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5, verse 17. Now, let me give you some categories. One of the things, you say, well, but I'm a Christian, and this is what I grew up with. So everybody track this just a minute. Maybe you've seen this. I grew up in a system with people who said, you got Jesus, you got saved, you're going to die now and go to heaven and make the best of it, pretty much. No joy, no peace, no love, at least from what I was picking up on. Just hang in there till Jesus comes. These were not happy people. These were angry, bitter, gritting their teeth. Those old women driving down the road with the steering wheel up like this, just gnawing on it. Get out of my way. Kind of angry people. You ever meet religious people like this? He's like, man, if that's what Jesus and church is all about, I want to get as far from that as possible, get another six pack and go back to the lake. Because that is jacked up. These people are just angry. You do not have to be angry to be a Christian. You do not have to be bitter. It's not a requirement. In fact, you should have a life full of mercy, forgiveness, joy, peace, long-suffering, all the fruit of the Spirit. That's what makes it so attractive when that stuff is coming out in your life. If you walk around with some scowl and woe is me and this happened to me and I've never gotten over it, get over it. And you say, but you don't know what happened to me. You don't understand what happened to my Jesus then. He got strung up on a cross for all this mess. Then let him take it. Let him forgive you. Let him give you the ability to forgive someone else and maybe even yourself and get a life and get on with that life. It may take some time. I understand that. But don't eat up the only life you've got, killing it for you, not letting God live in and through you like he wants to, and then not being a witness in the world around you because people don't want anything to do with you or your Jesus. You can be happy. I am not happy all the time, but there are times when I am just happy. I'm happy, right? You ever happy? You should be happy sometimes. Now, even when you're not happy, here's what's amazing. You can have joy all the time and only be happy part of the time. My mama used to say, get you some joy. You got any joy? That's when the tough stuff happens. And you go, Lord, I thank you anyway. See, the way the three lunches getting left at home works is if I flip out, text them all, call them, what in the world is going on. You all need to pay attention when you leave the house and get your lunches, because now I have to drive home and get those lunches and you've inconvenienced me. So now I'm a piece of work, I'm all wound up and I'm angry and I'm upset because I've been inconvenienced by God. That's what's wrong. So I'm so wrapped up in me and my inconvenience that I drive right by the Frank Lloyd Wright house and Matt misses out on his blessing because of me. So my job is to say, Lord, I got to get these lunches, don't I? Yes, sir, you got to get the lunches. I got a plan. You going to trust me? Yes, sir. Thank you for left lunches. Because there is nothing I can do to change that situation. So I'm going to go get them and have a good attitude about it and not miss out on the ride with Matt and the house and the whole thing. Do you see how you're jacking your life up and ruining it for a lot of other people without knowing it? Get an attitude, a good attitude, a grateful attitude, and look around and take a deep breath and go, you know what? It is tough, it is bad, but there's a lot of good going on. You say, Richard, but that's just a bunch of positive thinking. It is not. It is praise. It is worship. It is not worshiping the nature that you see. It is worshiping the God that created all and going, if he made that, what kind of God is he? I'll tell you one of the things he does for me now. I haven't played golf for many years. I found a way to get outside with some buddies and breathe air. And I am like a little kid now in the spring, because in Texas, the grass goes dormant and it's brown. And all of a sudden, out of that dead looking grass, little bitty sprouts of green grass come out of the ground. And all the fairways are going to go green again. And you say, who cares? I don't care if you care. I care. That's a cool thing for me. You got anything like that? Job 5:17. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, do not despise the chastening of the Almighty, for he bruises, but he binds up. He wounds, but his hands make whole. You know what? You want to be happy? God's disciplining you. Go, wow, God, thank you. It means you love me. It's not a lot of fun, but I know that even if you inflict pain, you're going to heal it. You're going to bind it up. It's going to be okay. We're going to be okay. So I trust you. Go to Psalm 144. Let me just read you some quick ones and then we're done. Psalm 144, verse 15. After the last half of this little verse, happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. You want to meet somebody happy? Meet someone who knows that God is the Lord. Psalm 146:5, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. There's a happy guy. Proverbs 17:22, keep going to the right. I love this verse. This is the stuff. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Laugh a little. You cry enough. Laugh a little.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD. Or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Luke chapter 15, the lost son, one of my favorite stories. And the boy finally comes home after wasting everything, and daddy pulls up his gown, his robe, and takes off running, throws his arm around that boy's neck, kisses him. My boy is home. Nothing else matters. And throws a party. I did not know my God was a partying God. I didn't know it. Nobody ever told me that. And every story in that chapter 15, go read Luke 15 sometime today before you go to sleep. The end of those three stories, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, in every story, a party is thrown. I never knew God would throw a party for me. I was the older brother who was bitter, religious, at home, serving Jesus, but hated every minute of it, and then realized he loved me. No matter what I'd done, where I'd been, he just loved me and was on my side. If you don't know that, you need to figure that out. And you say, I don't know how to figure that out. Then just talk to him. Say, God, I don't get all this. I don't know what that man's talking about. I don't have anything like this happen to me. So if something's wrong, if I'm missing it, I'm asking you, let him show up. Let him bless you. Let him love on you. Let him do something special for you. But get your mind, your heart in a place where you can even see it or receive it. Get out of yourself. Look up. Look out there. Look up. See what he's trying to do, what he's trying to say. He's an amazing God. Yes, he's a holy God. Yes, he's a righteous God. Yes, he's a just God. But you know what? He's a fun God. He's a creative God. He's a good God.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.